Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament passage of Job. The Old Testament passage of Job and Job chapter number 23. Job in chapter number 23. We are pretty much in the middle of this series of Jesus Answers Job. That is, Job is going through this trial in his life, and his friends have come to try to encourage him, at least in their own way, that they've come with their own agenda to try to get Job to confess what horrible sin he must have done to cause God's wrath to fall on him. That this has turned into a passionate discussion between these friends and Job. And through it all, Job makes statements that we find in the New Testament that Jesus is the answer to. And as Job looks up by faith from time to time in the midst of his misery, he gets glimpses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you don't mind, look with me in the book of Job chapter 23, and let's see some more of how Jesus answers Job. Notice with me in Job 23, and notice with me in verse number 1. Job 23 in verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to a seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteousness might dispute with him, so that I might be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what doth his soul desire? Even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." And if you don't mind, notice the question that Job asked in Job 23. Job 23 in verse 3, the question that he asked, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. If I could just find the way to God." And with this, we see that Job is answered by Jesus when Jesus says, "I am the way." And so if you don't mind, I'd like to show you more about Jesus here. And as we preach a message about Jesus, our way. Jesus, our way. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. As we come up to you today again, Lord, we thank you that you are a real God who hears us. That you, God, we have access to you because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That we can know the way to heaven, the way to have forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And because we know that you are the way, because we can get a hold of God, that it does affect us in our life. And I'm asking that this would be clear, that we would understand more about what your Bible says and get the encouragement we can have knowing that we're forgiven of our sins, that you could strengthen us, that you could encourage us, that you could keep us moving forward, knowing who you are. I'm asking again that you would reveal yourself to us, encourage us, love us, fill me with your precious spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Job 23, we are now on the third and last round of speeches. That remember that Job and his friends have been talking for a while, and they've gone round and round. They had round one, and now they had round two, and each round it's getting more and more intense. And in round three, the conversation is much more shorter and much more blunt, as pretty much his friends are saying, just stop messing around, Job. Tell us what sin it is and get right. And Job is saying, I've told you over and over, I'm a sinner, but I don't have any unconfessed sins. I'm as right with God as possible. I don't know why the judgment of God has come upon me. And Job is miserable. His friends are miserable. Everyone's getting miserable. And you've probably had conversations where the person that you're talking to is not understanding what you're saying. And as you continue to talk, the conversation dissolves and you're getting more and more frustrated, more and more to the point. And that's where they're at right now. That, why don't you understand what I'm telling you? And Job's friends are just frustrated. Job, just why don't you understand? And Job's on the other side, why don't you understand? And they're both trying to get their points across. They're no longer really listening to what the person says. They're trying to drive home the point to the other one and try, you know, there's some reason, I don't know why we do this, but it seems like we think that if we put more volume in it, that's going to finally convince them. That if I shout and I tell you and I show I'm serious, that you'll finally go, oh, you know what? I see your point now. By the time a conversation gets to the place where raised voices and very passionate thing, you're not going to convince them. It's already past that point. It's best to take a break, think about things, and then reevaluate. But no, this is where they're at. And they're getting to the place where they're not going to talk to each other. They're just going to stare at each other coming up very soon. So this is at the place where they're at the end of this conversation. Everyone's putting their blows in. Everyone's blunt. Everyone's to the point. And why don't you understand what I'm telling you? And we see that here. Job's just broken down. Notice, if you don't mind, what's happening in chapter 22 is that Eliphaz states, and he ends his statement with this order, get to know God and all that will be peace. So Eliphaz ends the idea, Job, if you just got to know God, if you just knew who God was, then there'd be peace in your life. Now, again, we would agree with the statement, but there's more beyond it because God knows what he's doing. It's not the idea that Job doesn't know God. God is using Job as evidence because God is on trial. But they don't know what's going on. But they're saying, you just get right with God. Just get right with God. You get to know God. You go talk to God and it will all be better. And so Job, in response to Eliphaz, says this. Notice with me in chapter 23, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. He's saying, oh, this is horrible. You're not listening. I'm not saying anything. He says, verse number 3, in response, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job says, if I just knew where God was, I would go straight up to him and say, what's going on? Felt like that before? Just tell me what's going on. If I could just find him, if I knew the way to get to God, and we would talk this out. He would tell me what's going on. That's all I need to know, is just tell me what's going on. I would order my cause before him, and I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. He said, verse number 4, if I knew where God was, I'd go up to him and I'd give my argument to him and say, God, this is what's going on in my life. Just tell me what's going on. Then verse 5, he says, God would tell me and make me understand what's going on. That I could just talk to him. He would talk to me. That if we could just have a conversation, God and I, and just sort this out, that'd be great. He says, verse 6, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. And verse number 6, Job is saying, one thing that has happened throughout the trial is that God hasn't pointed out any sin. You know, if God is bringing down judgment because of sin, he will also point out that sin and say, get this right. Does that make sense? He's not going to put a trial and make you guess what is wrong if there is something wrong. For example, if there is a sin in your life that just won't go away, and because of that, God put some consequences, he's going to convict you. He's going to point it out and say that sin needs to be fixed. He doesn't want you to guess if there's something that needs to be fixed. Does that make sense? That person is going to be convicted. Now, they may ignore it and they may go la, 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 but God will point it out, the thing that's wrong. Does it make sense? So if someone really says, God, this trial is here. If there is something wrong, point it out to me and I'll get it fixed. God would. What Job is saying is that I'd go talk to God because he hasn't pointed out anything that was wrong. If God would just point out something that was wrong, I would point it out, but there's no prosecutor. There's been a lot of legal terms in here because we're dealing with the idea of a trial. He said, there's no prosecutor accusing me. There's no one pointing out, this is what needs to happen. This is what needs to be fixed. All I know is this trial has come, and I know I'm as right with God as possible. I've asked God if there's something that needs to be fixed, and there's nothing that's come up. And then you guys keep saying, just get right with God. If there was something wrong, I'd confess it, get it right. If I could just talk to God now, I would have a conversation with God and say, God, what's going on? God would tell me and we'd all be good. But the problem is he says, I don't know the way. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse 7. He says, there the righteous might dispute with him so that I may be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, so that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. All right, so Job is saying, I've looked for God. I've gone forward. I've looked ahead. God, you there? I can't perceive him. I look behind me. God, are you over here? He says, I see God working over here. So I go, God, oh, goes to the right hand. He's not there either. He says, I don't know the way. How do I get to God? How can I approach God? Where is he at? I want to go talk to him. I desperately want to speak to him. And this is where Jesus enters in. Now, we're going to be turning back to Job 23, so you might want to put your finger there. But if you don't mind, let's see the New Testament answer, the book of John, chapter 14. John in chapter number 14. In John chapter 14, Jesus has taken his disciples aside. They've already had the Last Supper. And what is happening is that in a few short hours, Jesus is going to be arrested and put on a false trial. He's going to be whipped, scourged, beaten, and placed on the cross. That's going to happen in just a matter of hours. Now, the disciples don't know this, but Jesus does. And so Jesus pulls aside the disciples in John chapter 14. He pulls the disciples aside and says, boys, I want to give you some information. Boys, I want you to know some things that are important in preparation for my departure. Notice, if you don't mind, in John chapter 14. Did I say 16 earlier? Okay. John 14. And notice with me, John 14 and verse number 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So Jesus says, all right, boys, I'm fixing to leave and I'm going to my Father's house. And in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Now, the disciples would understand in Jewish culture that in a courtship relationship, when two people were courting and preparing to marry, that what would happen is that the husband to be would go away from the wife and go build a house for the wife to make sure she had it prepared. Now, if I could make a little parenthesis, don't you think it's a good idea before a guy gets married that he has a job, that he's settled, and he has a house before he gets married? Just a gee whiz thing. But anyways, and so Jesus tells him, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And in this Old Testament ways, the husband would go build a house and make it prepared so his wife-to-be could come and live. Then when it is done, the father of the groom would say, son, the house is prepared. Go get your bride. Now, the bride would not know when the groom was to come, that they did not set wedding dates like December 6th at 1 o'clock. What would happen is that the bride had to be always ready. It could be morning, could be noon, could be evening, could be soon. And that they knew he was coming again, and that the husband would come back to go get his bride. During that time, they didn't have interaction. They were different parts, but she would be in anticipation, waiting for the groom to come and get the bride. And they would look forward to that. And Jesus is saying, guess what, boys? I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And when my father says it's good, I'm coming back again. And by the way, you will know the way how to get there. Now they scratched their heads and said, wait a second. Thomas gets up in verse number 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not the way thou goest. How can we know the way? Now, Jesus, you just said we're going to know the way. I don't know how to get to your house. How can I get to your house? How can I get to heaven? How do we know? When we talk about people that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, as a Christian term, we call them lost. Now, what does it mean to be lost? To be lost means you don't know the way. I don't know how to get there. And someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are lost because they do not know the way to get to heaven. Does that make sense? We're not using it as a derogatory term. We're using it as a term to describe their current condition. They don't know how to get to heaven. If you go ask them for directions, how do I get to heaven? I don't know. Take a left turn in Albuquerque? I don't know. How do I get there? How do I get to heaven? Show me the way. And so in response, Thomas says, Jesus, I don't know how to get to your house. I don't know the way. I don't know how to get to where you're at. So Jesus answers him and gives him directions. Aren't you glad that Jesus can give us directions? You ask for directions, gentlemen, when you're lost, and you'll get directions. How do I get there? Verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Notice this. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So how do we get to God? We get to God by Jesus. How do I get to where God lives? By Jesus. He is the way. By the way, he is the truth. He is the life. That through Jesus, he is the way of salvation. He is the way, that's how I'm sure. He is the life, I am satisfied. That as I go through him, I have those things. I know I'm going to heaven. I know how I'm getting to heaven is not because of me. I'm getting to heaven by recognizing that I was lost. And that because I was lost, I was heading in the wrong direction. But Jesus told me the correct way, and I obeyed what he said. Does that make sense? That in order to go to heaven, I have to be perfect, but I'm not. That because I am not perfect, I don't deserve to go to a perfect place. That's not my destination. But Jesus died so that way I could go to heaven, and I personally accepted what he did for me so I can go that way. Jesus is the way. That is how I get to heaven. That is how I have forgiveness of sins. That's how I know I'm going to go through go spend forever with God because of what Jesus did. He showed me the way because he is the way. That he didn't show me the path to take. He showed me himself. And that's what salvation is the revelation of Jesus. That I see Jesus and I accept who he is. My Jesus. He is the way. And when I have Jesus, I'm going to heaven. The Bible says it this way in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know how I know I'm going to heaven? Because I have Jesus. Jesus is the one that's going to get me to heaven. He is the one that's going to get me there. He is the way. That's pretty simple. And so if you don't mind, let's go back to the book of Job, chapter 23. And as we look at the book of Job 23, we see that Job makes application for us. That he says, I want to know the way. How can I get to God? And when I get God, these are some things that are going to occur. So basically, we could say in our terms that when you have Jesus as your Savior, what type of things can you have in your life? Because you know the way, because you have forgiveness of sins, because you're going to heaven, because you're going to spend time with God, because you have access to God, what type of things happen in your life? Well, notice first of all that he would have God's strength. He would have God's strength. Notice with me in verse number 6. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. When you understand that you can have access to God and you could go to him and say, God, help me. He's not going to accuse you. He's going to give you strength. I can have strength to face my daily trials. I can have strength to go on because I know he lives because of who he is, because of who God is. I can have the strength to take another step, strength to get out of bed, strength to move forward. That it is his strength, not my strength. I can't pick myself up by the bootstraps. It is him that does it all. It is him that I trust. He places his strength in me. If you don't mind, something else that happens when you know Jesus, when you have access, when you have the way to heaven, when you have the way of forgiveness of sins, not only would he would have God's strength, but he also said that he would allow God to change him during the trial. He would allow God to change him during the trial. Notice with me in verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When God tries us, it is not to harm us, but the trial is to make us more like Jesus. The trial is to show what's in us so that way we could change things. The trial is there to reveal who we are and who we're trusting in. We spent a lot of time talking about this morning in Sunday school in the book of James, that the Bible talks about that when patience hath her perfect work. The word patience comes from two words that when you put it together carries the idea to abide under. To abide under. And that when you have patience according to the Bible, you've put yourself under God's authority and say, God, I trust you. That's what patience is that I trust God. I'm depending upon him. It's not, hurry up, come on, let's get it through. That's not patience. It's the idea of being still and know that he is God. And so Job is saying that when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. That God is doing a refining process. That he is burning away the dross. The way that they used to do the refining process inside of the ancient world is that they would take gold, as an example, and they would melt it down. And what would happen is that all the impurities within the gold would rise to the top, and that would be called the dross. And they would scrape away the top of the dross, and then what would be left would be the gold. They would usually, in a refining process, do this about 7 times. Each time they would melt it down, and the impurities would rise to the top of the liquid gold. They would scrape off the impurities. And the more that they did it, the more pure the product would be. And Job is saying that each one of these trials is made to get the dross, the garbage, the sin, the filth, the nastiness, the impurities out of my life. And that the trial happens, it melts me down, it forces the stuff to the surface, that stuff is scraped away and dealt with. And then the next trial, melt it down again, more of the impurities come forward. You know, every trial, you should be learning more about yourself and changing and purifying. And he says, when God is done with this, I'm looking up and trusting him. He knows what he's doing. I shall come forth as gold. This refining process in my life. I trust God. I'm going to allow God to do his work. We all understand that we can react to trials a couple different ways. I'm just having a bad day. Why is this thing happening? Everything's falling apart. Been there, done that? Kids messing up. You're trying to get ready. Where's your shoes? Where's your clothes? I thought I told you to have this. You know, how do you react to this? How do you respond? God, I'm trusting you. God, you're in a process. I could depend upon you. I'm keeping my eyes on you, that we're trusting in you even in the midst of this. How do we respond? You understand you're going to live your life one of two ways. You're going to live your life by faith, or you're going to live your life by force. And the faith life is the best life. To live your life by force is that you're spending your time making this work. It's almost like taking a square block and trying to put it through a round hole. Or a circle block and put it through a square. You can get it through if you do enough mashing and pounding and work. Just get it through and make it work. Or you could trust God and say, God, I'm going to let you do what you need to do. You know, the faith life is the peaceful life. I'm not saying it's an absence of trial. I'm saying that even in the trials, you could look up and say, God, you know what you're doing. I'm trusting in you. I faith you. I have patience with you. I'm abiding myself under you. You are God. I can trust you. Even when I can't trust people, I can trust you. And Job is saying that when I go through this process, I'm going to allow God to change me through it. He's got a plan. He knows what he's doing. There's nothing that happens by accident that did not cross or go across God's desk. These things that are happening in my life are for my good. It may hurt, but it won't harm you. You understand there's a difference. When we used to draw blood, people say, is it going to hurt? It may hurt, but I'm not going to harm you. It is for your good. And God knows what it is. So when we have Jesus as the way, when we know how to get to God, that we know that Job said, I know I'd have God's strength. He said he would allow God to change him during the trial. Something else that we see here is that he would continue to obey God. When you know the way to God, when you have access to him, when you could speak to him, that Job says here, he would continue to obey God. Notice with me in verse 11. My foot hath helped in his steps. The way, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. That we can obey God because we trust in him, that he knows what he's doing. That when God says something, we know that he knows what he's doing. There is a reason why God said, don't do that. There's a reason why God said, do this. There's a reason why God has everything. There is always a reason. The idea is, do you trust him? Can you trust him? It's almost like a child going up to their parents. And they said, Mom, can I have this? And the mother says, no, you cannot. Will the child trust the parent and say that they know what they're doing? Or do they want to rebel and throw a hissy fit and walk away? It's not cute in a child, and it's not cute on us when we do the same thing to God. Can you trust that God knows what he's doing? And that if God tells us to do something, that he knows what he's doing when we're doing it. When God says, don't do that, that he has wisdom and he knows what he's doing when he tells us not to do it. Job says, I'm willing to obey God, that I will continue to obey what God has given me to do. When I have access to God, when I know who God is, when I have the way, I can continue to obey God because I know who God is. I can talk to him. He's told me what to do. I trust him. There's one last thing in here that Job said, that if he knew the way to God, if he could have access to God, because of that, he would have God's strength. Because of that, he could trust that God is going to use that trial to change him for the better. He could said, I continue to obey God. If I knew God, if I had access to God, if I could spend time, if I knew the way, I would continue to obey God. A fourth thing, and the last thing here, is that he would love the Word of God more. He would love the Word of God more. Notice with me in verse number 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job says, it came to the place that if I knew God and I had access to him, I would trust, need, depend on his word more than my own food. Now think about that. For most of us, we're not at that level. That when midnight snack comes, we open up the refrigerator and say, well, what's in here? I need that more. Comes breakfast time, stomach's growling, I needed to get that taken care of. But yet we starve ourselves spiritually, but not getting the word of God, this necessary food. He says, I esteem that this is more important than getting my Eggo's waffles. This is more important than the lasagna that's waiting for me. How important is the word of God to you? If God says you can know the way, and he's given you a whole book telling you how to get closer to God, why wouldn't you? Is God more important than your necessary food? If that is true, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember the purpose of the Bible. The Bible is not a book about Job. It is not a book about Paul. It is not a book about Abraham. It is a book about God. And the purpose of the Bible is to reveal more of God. And every time you read your Bible, it tells you more of your Lord and Savior. It tells you more about God, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, whether it's the Psalms, Minor Prophets, or the Gospel records. Every bit of it points and teaches us more about God. And Job says, I want to know more about him. He showed me the way. Now I want to know more about him. That I will say that knowing God through his word is more important than my necessary food. He says, I would love the Bible more and more and more. How is your hunger for the word of God? How is your hunger to know God more? We have the way. We have access to God through Jesus. And we can learn more about God. In fact, this is a true statement. You are as close to God right now as you want to be. You are not lost. You know the way to God. You know how to get more of God. You know how to get access to God through his word. You are as close to God as you want to be. You see, the thing for us is that in this congregation here, most of us, if not all of us, know the way. That we've got access to God by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, because you know the way, is it important to you to know more about God? Or are you satisfied with the knowledge of God that you have? Are you hungry to know more about him? There's not a single one of us who have arrived and said, you know what, I know all about God that I need to know. You can always learn more about him. You could always study him more. And Job says, I esteem the words of his mouth more than his necessary, than my necessary food. Now that you have the way, do you want more of him? We understand that Job said, oh, if I could only know how to get to God. And Jesus answered him and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth to the Father but by me. You all have access to the Father. Are you taking advantage of that access? Are you getting to know your Father more? Or are you fine with your Father being afar off and saying, hi, how are you? And just visit him every once in a while. We have access, and we can be as close to God as we want to be. Where are you at in the way to God?
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.